2 Samuel chapter 3, and as they're all gathered together at the funeral of Abner, King David makes a lamentation, makes an exclamation in or at this funeral, and in verses 33 and 34, we find David saying this. Verses 33 and 34, the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." Mount Washington is the highest peak in the northeast of the United States. It is known for its difficulty, but it is also known for its erratic weather patterns. Now, on top of that mountain, there is a startling monument dedicated to a young girl who sadly died while she was trying to climb that mountain, Mount Washington. However, her death is a sad death because it was really something that, humanly speaking, need not have occurred. You see, one day, this young girl and her father, they decided that they would try and climb Mount Washington to the top on their own without hiring a guide. But coming into the evening time, and the biting coldness beginning to sap the last of her strength, this young girl, she became discouraged, she became disheartened, and they sat down on the mountain trail. As they stopped on the mountain trail during the night, the young girl, she sadly died from heart failure due to exposure to the cold. Her father, he lay there very much just like King David. He was lamenting her death. He, of course, was weeping for the loss of his dear daughter. And her death was made even more stark and sad. Whenever he realized, as the sun lifted during the next morning, that he had discovered that if they had gone just a few steps further, that they would have seen the lights of a place called Tip Top Cabin, a place where they could have entered into, a place where they could have had warmth, a place where they could have had shelter from the cold, protection from the cold, the provision of a warm fire. And so there was a young girl. And the tragic tale of her death is this. She was so close, but yet so far. She was very close to the cabin, a place of safety, a place of shelter, a place of security. But sadly, she died being just outside that place. And the tale of being so close but yet so far is also really the tale that is left behind when you think about the death of this man, the death of Abner. Coming into 2 Samuel chapter 3, you're met by this man, a man named Abner. And we find that as he was brought into near a city, the city of Hebron, he was just outside the city gate. And Hebron was an extremely important city at this time, because the book of Joshua in the chapter number 20 tells us that Hebron, it was marked out, it was set apart, it was separated as a city of refuge. And Abner, as we're going to see throughout the message tonight, if he was in the city of Hebron, no man could touch him, no man could slay him, no man could kill him. But here, sadly, we read of the tale of how Joab, the nephew of King David, how he came to Abner, and he was just outside the gates of this city, a city of refuge. And he brought him in, and he spoke to him peaceably, and spoke to him quietly. But just outside the city, just outside the city of Hebron, there, sadly, Abner died. Joab came and killed him suddenly. The death of Abner, he was so close, but yet so far. You see, being close to the kingdom is different from being in the kingdom. Tonight, you could be like Abner and be so close, but die so far. Oh, tonight, don't make the mistake of Abner. Don't make the mistake of that young girl. And be close to a place of safety. Be close to coming to Jesus Christ. Be close to that person of shelter, that person of security, that person of stability, the one who is the only refuge for the soul, but sadly die without entering into Jesus Christ and enjoy safety and security for your soul. Oh, tonight you could be taken. You could be even like Judas, and you could be close to Jesus Christ, and you could serve Jesus Christ, and you could know about Jesus Christ, but like Judas and like Abner, die just outside of the safety, the shelter, the security of the refuge that you're so close to. Oh, here's a man. And what a tragic, tragic death. King David himself asked the question, and it's very interesting that he doesn't answer the question for us. He leaves it there, hanging for you to make the decision and the judgment yourself. Died Abner as a fool dieth? Did Abner die as a fool? But he doesn't give you the answer. He leaves this question hanging for us to think about, for us to meditate upon, and for us to contemplate. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Just for a few moments, we're going to think about the death of Abner, a man who was so close, but yet so far, and then we're going to give you the information, and we're going to let you make that decision yourself. Did he die as a fool, or did he not die as a fool? Abner's death, so close, but yet so far. Thinking about this man, Abner, I want you to notice firstly here the danger he experienced. The danger he experienced. As he comes before us in the early chapters of 2 Samuel, you will discover that Abner, whilst he had a favorable position, he was a member of King David's army, he was a soldier in King David's army, his life was in danger. Think with me in terms of this danger. Think with me about the fact that he was condemned. He was condemned. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, we read in the verses 22 and 23, this is where we find out how he was condemned. We read there, speaking of Abner, howbeit he refused to turn aside, or rather, a man by the name of Asahel, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 2, you have Abner, and he is in battle. As he is in battle, he slays a man by the name of Asahel. Now Asahel, he was a quick-footed individual. And it seems that there was incidents going on in the battle, and it seems that Abner turned to Asahel, and he gives him the opportunity to not be at war with him. However, Asahel didn't listen. So what did Abner do? Well, he slew this man named Asahel. Now, this had ramifications. Because Joab, who slew Abner, as we heard about and as we have already read about tonight, Joab, who was the captain of King David's army, was also the brother of this man Asahel, whom Abner slew. Now, under the Old Testament, this takes us into a very, very interesting realm. Because Abner, as he slew this man named Asahel, even though it would have been in battle, he still slew him. This made Abner something. This made Abner a slayer, and then it gave Joab the right to be an avenger of blood. Basically, what happened was this. Because Abner slew Asahel, Joab had the right to avenge the death of his brother and slay Abner. However, in Joshua chapter 20, there were six cities of refuge appointed by God, and the slayer, a man who was condemned, a man who had slain someone in battle, if he fled to one of these six cities of refuge, then the avenger of blood could no longer harm him. There it was in the city of refuge, where the judicial system would take its effect, the elders would gather the individuals together in question. Just like a judicial system today, they would interrogate the individuals. They would see who was innocent, who was guilty, was it on purpose, etc., etc. But I want you to see at this stage, here was Abner, and he had slain Asahel, and so what happens? He is now sentenced to death. Joab now has the right to pursue after Abner and slay him as long as he's not in the city of refuge. Here's a man who's condemned, and the avenger is pursuing after him, chasing him, hounding him down, seeking to end his life. And before the law, man is not clear, but rather man is condemned. He is sentenced and condemned before a judge. Oh, tonight, just like Abner, we all have the sentence of death, spiritually speaking, hanging over our heads. Why is that? The sentence of eternal and spiritual death hanging over our heads. Well, very simply, it is because of the fact that before Almighty God, we are condemned. He condemns us as the judge. We come before him just like Abner, and the judge finds us guilty. The charges are laid before us. When you take the commandments and you evaluate your life before them, you will find that you are condemned before God. For example, you take the sin of murder. Exodus 20 tells us, if any man hates, it tells us there that if we kill someone, we are a murderer and we are guilty of murder. However, the New Testament teaching is this. Christ takes the sum and the essence of the law, and he states this. If we hate a brother, then we are guilty of the sin of murder in our hearts. And I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. I can safely say, knowing man and knowing the heart of man as I know my own heart, every single one of us has been guilty of this. Oh, we may not have physically taken our hands and slain an individual just like Abner. But who here in this meeting could rightly put up their hands and say, well, I've never wanted to avenge someone or avenge myself. I've never ever come to that point in my life where I've never hated anyone. Oh, if you're honest with yourself and you know the corruption of your own heart, as we all do, then you would have to confess, then you're condemned before the law. You're condemned before Almighty God. Speaking of the law of God, in Romans 4, we read in verse 15, the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. And Paul here in the context, he's writing about the giving of the law of Moses. What does he say the law does? He says it does this. The law worketh wrath. The law worketh the anger and the animosity of God. The word worketh there, it means to fashion. It means to produce. And so what is he saying to the Roman converts? Well, he's saying this. The law of God, it produces, it fashioneth, it worketh the anger and condemnation of God. In essence, it shows you that you are guilty. The law does not comfort you to sleep. No, it condemns you before God. It condemns and sentences you before him. Oh, the Bible makes this very, very clear, that the law, it was not given for a righteous man. Rather, the law was given to show man that he's unrighteous. To show man and to show you tonight that you're condemned before God. What does John 3 teach you? From memory, verse 36, we who believe not were condemned already before a holy and a righteous God. And tonight you need to see yourself as Abner, condemned. And the slayer, he is pursuing after you, and he has every right to take you. You know, a little boy was visiting his grandparents. They lived out at an open farm, and they kept animals and so on and so forth. And he was given by his grandfather his first slingshot. Thought, well, I'm going to take it out to the woods and practice. But of course, the young lad, as all young lads, whenever they're first given the slingshot, it takes a while to get to know how to use it. And so when he was getting to know how to use it, he really missed many targets. However, on one impulse, he just took aim aimlessly, and he just let fly. And as he just let fly, he unbeknown to him, however, one of his grandfather's ducks, he kept ducks, and they just walked past, and of course the stone hit the duck square in the head, and the duck sadly passed away. The boy panicked. Desperately he came to the duck, and he took it back to the garden. He hid it under the woodpile. Then he turned around. He thought he had got away with it. But sadly, his sister Sally had been watching the whole thing. And sisters, as Sally, as sisters do, she went and told Granny and Granda, and of course, he was guilty. His crime was, of course, killing the duck, trying to hide it, and he was sentenced to the punishment of doing the dishes the rest of the week. He was guilty and punished accordingly. And here's a man, Abner, and he's condemned before Almighty God, and he is going to receive the punishment that is due his reward. He was condemned, but I also want you to see, thinking about Abner here, and he's a man in danger, notice also that he was conned. He was conned. 2 Samuel chapter 3 now, and we read in the verse number 27, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib. Joab in chapter 2, when he had heard that Abner had switched allegiance to David, well, Joab should have been delighted. And Joab, he pretended really to forgive Abner for slaying his brother. You read of this in chapter 2 and the verse 27. So here's Joab, and he gives Abner the impression that all is well, that there's no more animosity between them. However, if you know Joab throughout scripture, you'll discover this about Joab, the captain of David's army. He was a bloodthirsty man. Boy, he loved to slay. He loved to sometimes even unjustly take individuals and slay them in battle. He was a bloodthirsty man. And so this was all in his mind. This was all in his memory. I have the legal right to be a slayer. And although I've told Abner all is okay, I'm going to ensure that I get him and that I smite him. By this occasion now in 2 Samuel chapter 3, Abner is at a well, the well of Sirah. It is just 2.5 miles outside the city of Hebron. What does Joab do? He tells his men, go and find Abner and bring him back to the gate or to the city of Hebron. Of course, this happens. And verse 27 tells us that Abner was returned to Hebron. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Now, the word quietly here, it means peacefully. So I want you to see it. Joab here, he's giving Abner the impression that all is well. And he even brings him aside. Brings him aside from everybody else to a hidden place, to the gate of the city. Obviously they were confined. And just as he then gives him the impression that all is well, he cons him into thinking that all is well. And then as soon as he speaks to him peacefully or quietly, he smites him there under the fifth rib. He conned him into thinking that all was well when really all was not well at all. And Joab here is a type of Satan. And Satan is the great con man. And what does Satan do? Well, like Joab, he brings you aside and he speaks peacefully to you. And he tells you all is well. Like Joab did to Abner, Satan, he is in the business. He is in that business of luring you into a false sense of security, into thinking this, that all is well, that you're not perhaps near to your death, or that you have plenty of time, or perhaps that somehow, through your works and your own efforts and your own attainments, that you are at peace with God. Satan is the great con man, and also he is a liar. John 8 reminds us of this truth. Verse 44, speaking of Satan, Christ, he said himself, he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. How does Christ describe Satan like this? A murderer from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning. And also, yes, a liar, but the father of lies. The father of lies. He was a liar and the father of it. Satan deceives you in order that he might destroy you. He deceives you that he might slay you just like Joab. Oh, tonight we need to push the lies of Satan to one side. We need to ensure that we're not listening to the lies of Satan, the one who is typified here in Joab and his actions. We need to ensure that we are not tricked into the lie. Just as Satan deceives so many today, he is the deceiver of nations, as the book of Revelation calls him. And you need to ensure that you're not deceived into thinking that all is well with you. If it's not, if you're not resting in Jesus Christ and looking alone to him for salvation, because that's exactly what he does. Oh, he deceives you. Deceives you into thinking that all is well and that you are at peace with God when perhaps you're not. And so here we find Abner, and he's being pursued, and now he's in grave danger. The danger he experienced. But I want you to see, secondly, here the deliverance he evaded. Verse 27 tells us that when Abner returned to Hebron, he died in the very gate of Hebron. Now Hebron was one of the six cities of refuge. So here he is, he's so close to a city of refuge, he's in the gate, but he's not in the city. Now why was this important? What did he miss? What was this deliverance that, as we have been saying, he evaded? Well, Numbers chapter 35 and the verse 20, it tells us a little bit more of what might happen if Abner was in the city of refuge, how he would have been safe. There in Numbers 35, verse 28, we read, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Whenever a slayer, a man who had been guilty of slaying someone, killing someone, whether justly or unjustly, whenever they entered into the city of refuge, they were safe. Why were they safe? Something would happen. As they waited and as they were still under the condemnation of the Avenger of Blood, something happened. Whenever the high priest reached that time of age, or perhaps for other circumstances, and the high priest passed away, then the slayer, he could go free. Why was this? Well, the Old Testament describes the high priest as a representative of his people. And so here God was showing that if only Abner the slayer had been in the city, he could have waited for a representative to die on his behalf. Should he have been in Hebron, there he would have been in safety, because whenever the high priest died, then Abner could have walked out of that city scot-free and returned back to wherever he desired. But of course this didn't happen. He evaded this deliverance. And whilst he was in the gate of the city, he was not in the confines of the city. And so he missed out on the opportunity of having a representative die on his behalf. Being an almost Christian is different from being an actual Christian. You could be so close, but so far. What is a Christian? Well, a Christian, very simply, is this. He is someone who trusts in the death of a representative to pay for his crimes and sins. And when he trusts in that person, he is safe. He is secure. He will never suffer the wrath of God nor the damnation of hell. And so the question tonight is very simply this. Are you trusting in the death of a representative? Are you trusting and resting in the death of Jesus Christ, who in the book of Hebrews and so many references is called the high priest of our profession? Or are you like Abner? And will you be like Abner and die just outside of that place of protection and that place of safety and that place of refuge? Hebrews 7 verse 27, speaking of the high priest, and then Christ's high priestly work, we read there, who needeth not daily to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. The Old Testament priest, before he entered into the house of God, before even making sacrifice and atonement for the sins of his people, he had to make sacrifice and atonement for his own sins. Why? Because he was just a representative. He was just a man, and he could not, by his own efforts and attainments, take away the sins of others when he was a sinner himself. He was just a representative. But then it takes this principle and it applies it to Jesus Christ. And it says this, he died once. Why? Why did he die once? When he offered up himself unto God. He did not need to die for his own sins. He died for the sins of his people. And we are not to evade this deliverance. We rather are to embrace this deliverance. Embrace Jesus Christ, his death, and his high priestly work for you on your behalf. I know tonight, will you do that? Will you embrace Jesus Christ, the high priest? Or will you be like Abner and make that mistake of, yes, being so close, but yet so far? Oh, tonight, will you not, as it were, reach out your hand of faith and embrace Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and your own refuge for your soul? So there was the danger that he experienced and the deliverance that he evaded. I want you to see lastly then the death he endured. Verse 27 again, Joab took him aside and he had to speak with him quietly. And smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died. Thinking about this death, I want you to see two things quickly. It was a sudden death. Verse 34, David now standing at the coffin of Abner, he laments, thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. These verses, it mentions the bier. And that really just means the coffin. Here's David and the rest of Israel, and they're gathered together for what must have been a monumentous funeral. And there is David standing at the grave. What does he lament about Abner's death? He laments this fact, that he was so, so close to Hebron, but he wasn't in. And more than that, he could have went in. He states here that his hands were not bound, nor his feet put into fetters. What he was saying was this, he was in absolutely no way restrained. He could have walked through that gate, and he could have entered into that city, and the confines of that city, freely. There was nothing stopping him, bar a conversation with Joab. Oh, he had absolute freedom to walk through the gates of that city and be safe. But however, Joab came, and it all happened very, very suddenly. Joab came, and suddenly he was taken. And sometimes you can be near to the Lord, but then be seized by the Lord. You could be so close, but yet so far. The reality is this, that Abner's death could be just a description of your death. And you could be so close to coming to Jesus Christ and so close to embracing him as the high priest of your profession and taking him as your representative and him dying there on your behalf, but die just outside of Jesus Christ. You could be like Judas, who it was said in Acts 1 verse 25, he went to his own place. You could die suddenly. At a time which is most unexpected to you. And perhaps even a time when you're contemplating coming to Jesus Christ. You could die like Abner. You could be so close but yet so far. And yet there is nothing stopping you in coming to Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, your hands nor your feet are not bound. So it was a sudden death. Lastly, I want you to see that it was a sad death. Verses 32 and 33. They buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. The king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Here's King David. He lost a good man. Abner wasn't perfect. Abner, before becoming a member of King David's army, he was actually the captain of King Saul's army when King Saul and King David were at war with each other. So here was a man who had his faults. He wasn't perfect, but nonetheless, he was a good man. And here's King David, and he asks this question, and this is the question that we're coming to, that we just want to throw out for you to contemplate, now having all the facts. died Abner as a fool dieth? Did he die as a fool? Did he die as a fool? There is a certain sense in which he didn't die as a fool, because he made that good decision to change allegiances from the house of Saul to the house of David and serve King David faithfully. So there is a sense in which he didn't die as a fool. But I believe that David has in his own mind as he asks this question, this truth that we've been looking at tonight, this fact that he was so close to Hebron, so close, but yet so far. And so yes, while there is a sense in which he didn't die as a fool, there is also that sense that here's David standing weeping at the grave, and he knows that he did die as a fool. Why? Because he was so close to safety, but sadly he wasn't in the confines of the city of Hebron. And whilst death is a reality for all, it can also be a tragedy for some. Because you can be so close, but yet so far. What a tragic way to leave this scene of time and have individuals standing at your grave and asking the question, did they die as a fool? Did they die perhaps like Abner? Being so close to safety, so close to Jesus Christ, so close to coming to him, and yet end up dying in the greatest of all plights and predicaments and perishing in hell as a condemned sinner. Died Abner as a fool dieth? We throw the question out there and we leave it for you to think about this evening. But we say this, he was so close, but yet so far. May you not die a similar death this evening, but rather may you be resting in your great high priest, in Jesus Christ himself. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.